Wednesday, September 20th at 6 p.m. Alderman Cook, Cornelius, myself, Merrick, city staff chief, and no citizens online.
None
in the room, no citizen comments. Minutes for correction and approval of our last meeting, June 21st, 2023. Any questions, clarifications, anybody? Good. All right. Anybody says present? And move on to new business item number one. 2023-30, the budget reports for June through August of 2023.
Yeah, I'll focus mainly on the August one. Sales tax numbers are still doing fine. I haven't run the detailed analysis yet, but they are up a couple percentage points each month over the prior year, but I haven't modeled it out for the entire fiscal year yet. That's probably next month. And then you can see in the fiscal year end budget report, Rob has shifted everything into kind of an audit format. Sales taxes were really high again last year. And then our largest, kind of increase over expectations, it continues to be kind of the state income tax. So despite everything that's happened with LGDF in the past several years and the state's economy, the IML estimates and the different state level estimates that come out keep undershooting our share of the state income tax by a fair margin. So that is outside of any moves that we plan to make in the next couple years with our special census, so that's wholly positive. So with that, if anybody has questions about specifics of the budget reports, I'm happy to take them, but everything is relatively positive.
So for June 30th, 2023, year-to-date revenues of $10,873,216, year-to-date expenses of $5,367,692. For the month ended July 31st of 2023, year-to-date revenues of $13,781,188, year-to-date expenses of $9,703,287. And for the month ended August 31st, 2023, you see that the beginning fund balance, this is unaudited, but expected to be the same when we do get the final audited results, and that'll be at the October 24th meeting. But beginning fund balance, which is last year's ending fund balance of $24,524,937, year-to-date revenues of $17,081,097, year-to-date expenses of $13,089,315 for a projected ending fund balance of $28,516,718.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob. Any questions on any of that?
Yep, that does need to go to City Council. Yeah.
So what is that typically something that presents on consent?
It is. Yes.
You guys good with that?
We're good.
Awesome. Thank you, Rob. Thanks, Mark. New business item number 3, 2023-32, the cash statements from April to June of 2023.
This is just informational as always. On the first page of each report is the city's cash balances, and the second page is the city's investments.
Joe's not here to correct me like last time when I tried to do these all as separate reports, but they're all just one. So new business item number 4, 2023-33, which are invoices between $5,000 and $25,000.
Again, this is informational, just covering invoices between $5,000 and $25,000. Goes back to June of 27th bill list all the way through our most recent bill list of September 12th.
Succinct information, no questions.
Great, good to hear.
Excellent. All right, moving along. New business item number 5, 2023-34, which is our monthly website reports from June through August of 2023.
Work for the synopsis of all three, all the information is within there. Since this report, we have launched the new website. It's a redesign of our current website, so same website provider, Civic Plus, so that just launched last Thursday. We do see the busy month as July, and that has trended, since I've been here for 7 years. That's when a lot of our festivals, a lot of our advertisements begins for hometown days, so we point everybody to our website from our social sites. So if anybody has any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I don't have any. So we are calling it X, though, so we have updated that because it has this new fancy name, right? So that's awesome. Thank you, Aaron. Few more profile visits too. I think that's the only change. Right. New business item number 6. Oops, some topics. 2023-35, our tax levy estimates.
This is a preliminary preview, if you will, of our 2023 tax levy estimate. We need to approve the estimate in October. I have a public hearing for it in November, and then you can vote on it either the last meeting in November or the first NLA meeting in December. Of course, the tax levy being due that last Tuesday of the month, which I believe is December 26th. But this is a preliminary review, and it's preliminary from the standpoint that we don't have the police pension actuarial number yet. We will have that shortly, I'm hoping next week, so I won't have it for the 9/26 City Council meeting, but definitely by October 10th, we'll have that number in place and you know exactly what it is. So right now we're using a placeholder of $1.4 million. So based on the new construction EAV, which is currently estimated by Kendall County at about $26.2 million, that would generate additional property tax proceeds for new construction only for the city of about $134,000. The CPI increment would be about $187,000. And again, CPI is pretty high this year. It's actually 6.5, but that gets capped at 5% per PTEL. It's always 5% or lower. Or lower if CPI is lower, and this year it's higher, so it's capped at 5. So we could, if we wanted to do both new construction and inflation, we could levy about $320,000 additional for property tax proceeds in FY23. Historically, we have not done that. We've only done the new construction increment. So moving along to the exhibits that I attached, starting with Exhibit C. This shows the tax levy for estimated new construction increments only for both the city and the library. So you can see with our levy request, it would be about 3.86, which would be about a 3.5% increase over last year's extension. And then you can see the amount there, almost $130,000, which would be that new construction portion only of the property tax proceeds. Going to Exhibit A. This is what we're currently recommending for the public hearing, where we would set the tax levy estimate. Again, as a reminder, you can set, this kind of sets the ceiling of what we could potentially levy. We can't levy more than what we set the estimate at, but we can always levy less. So based on that, I've actually increased new construction by about 10%, just to give us a little flexibility because these new construction numbers aren't set in stone. They usually change between now and November. So just to give us a little bit of flexibility to make sure we can levy every dollar of new construction, I've kind of increased the EAV amount by, the new construction EAV amount by about 10%, so it's about 28.8%. That would give us the ability to levy maybe $13,000 more. Again, we don't have to, we can always levy less than that, but it just gives us flexibility because that new construction EAV number is not yet set in stone. And then also for the purposes of the public hearing only, I set the library levy at the max amount, the max rate amount, which is 15 cents per $100 of EAV, and that would generate about $1.192 million. Now again, because we levy the library and the city separately, so that P-tax, or I'm sorry, that P-TEL is applied to both entities, that amount's probably gonna get clawed back, and that amount for the library is actually gonna come in somewhere around $983,000 if you look at Exhibit B. And Exhibit B shows the city and the library if both entities levied for both new construction and CPI. Again, that hasn't been the city's past practice. We've only done CPI over the last probably 5 years or more. But if we did, we would have a total levy of about $4.05 million, about an 8.5% increase. And the library, they typically levy at the max at 0.15, but usually it gets clawed, or it always gets clawed back by the county, so it should be about $984,000, which is about a 8.5-9% increase for them. So again, these numbers are preliminary. We're waiting on that police pension levy number, which I expect we'll get next week, and we'll present it to council at the October 10th meeting. So just circling back real quick to the schedule, if I can find it here. So yeah, on the 26th, we'll present this to council again. Again, this is a preliminary tax levy estimate. October 10th or the 24th, either date, you can either adopt the tax levy estimate on the 10th, or if you'd like to review it and discuss it further, we can wait till the 24th. The public hearing is slated for November the 14th, and then the tax levy can either be approved on November 28th or December 12th.
So just as a reminder, the last few years, your policy decision has been to take new construction value only, nothing from CPI. And so although we're going to publish that we're going to take more than that, so basically taking both construction and CPI for our property taxes, the policy decision will likely be, and the recommendation would be to do new construction only. So we always have to publish at a higher dollar amount, and we can always ratchet that back through future council action.
Do you know the last time that we did to just not do construction?
And do like a full increase? It's probably been 10, 15 years?
Yeah, because we actually did tax reductions for a while there. For like 4 years in a row, we reduced taxes. So
it would have been probably 11, 10 or 11. It would have been like the last year before we did the non-abated property taxes.
Yeah.
So there was a portion here in previous years where our bonds and revenues were like $2 million, I think, 1 year.
Well, yeah, the first year it was, like 2.2 or something.
And then we ratcheted that back. That was before we implemented the non-normal sales tax. So I think the year before we had to do that, I think that was one of the last years we did new construction plus CPI.
Yeah.
So, and in a couple of years, it's going to be moved. You're going to be home rule, so you're not going to have to do this calculation legally.
Yeah, and I think the last thing you're going to do, if we're going to raise the water rates like we're going to do, I don't think you want to hit with a tax increase.
Yeah, I'm wondering when the last time it actually was.
So I don't, even if you look in the future, I don't know how you even, there's going to be enough other issues.
Yeah.
Those expenses. Yeah, so the report is in the packet. We don't think there's going to be any changes to this. When we see the audit here in a couple of months, no material changes anyway. Had another good year. Revenues and outpaced expenditures by close to $2 million. And actually more than $2 million. Again, driven by our state income tax proceeds being higher than we expected. That was the biggest driver. Non-home rule sales taxes, then gas taxes, and really just everything across the board. Building permits were another good one, and then investment earnings. So interest rates were high, which hurts us when we go out for bonds, obviously, relative to, what it was a few years ago, but it means that we earn a lot more on interest, which is great. So all the departments should be under budget, functionally. The ones that were over were admin services, because we transferred a lot more money out into capital. So we've got like a $2 million move that should have been in the general fund as a surplus. We're just showing it as capital surplus, basically a down payment for our public works facility or our water project, depending on which one we want to use. And admin services, we had more garbage customers than we had expected. So that expenditure was high, but it's also offset by revenue.
So, all in all, again, another good year. Our, you know, history of conservatively budgeting is yielding, some pretty healthy fund balances. It's going to give us a little bit of flexibility when we go to pay for, like, Michigan and our public works. So if anybody has questions about any of the line items, happy to take them.
So, with the I'm curious, because you said, so the garbage thing, is that tied to population, right? Or home sales, right? So if you don't have an increase in home sales, how do you all of a sudden do better? Or you're charging more for the garbage pickup? Which one is it?
It's a pass-through. So whatever the garbage company charges us is basically what we charge. So when you look at the expenditures, the admin services department is over budget. But that's because we had more garbage customers, but then that's offset by a corresponding revenue. So there's no net impact on the budget.
Okay.
It's just if you were looking at this and trying to gauge, like, did any departments go over budget, you might look at that and go, oh, that one did, but that's why.
Okay.
But I follow.
Yep.
It's right there. So $40,000 over. And we don't, I think we do some inflationary increases on that cost, but we don't really do any modeling or, you know, trying to peg it just because it's a pass-through.
Exactly, yeah. It really doesn't have much impact on the bottom line, so.
And then just so you're seeing it, because we'll talk about this during the audit presentation too, but, you know, if you had, transfer from the general fund. We only budgeted for like $800,000 transfer, basically to pay for the projects. And we ended up in here being able to do, you know, $2.9 million. So theoretically you've got $2.1 million in there that is just set aside for future use on projects. So I would anticipate along with a similar analysis that we're gonna do for the library here in the next couple months that we'll have some sort of recommendation on unassigned fund balances within our capital funds. And kind of maybe just saying, like, here's your snapshot right now. You've got $4 million that you can pay water projects, you can forego water revenues, you can pay for a piece of the public works facility, et cetera. So a little bit of money to play with there. So
that, if you used it for the water, then that would help
with
some of the water rate increases.
Yeah, you might be able to, like, push off rate increases for, you know, months or a year, depending on what we do with our modeling. You know, how quick we do the ramp and how we finance it. So it's not going to make a huge difference, $2 million on probably 120, but it'll help.
And keep in mind, too, that money can also be used to offset a future bond issue. I know we have that big paving cluster coming up in the citywide capital. So
you mean if we do the all of them?
Yeah, I think it's like, what, 7 to 10 million. So by transferring that excess general fund in there, that mitigates the amount.
That. We talked about last night about something being like, total $20 million if we decided to go that.
We did, yeah. If all these subdivisions over the next several years got done in succession, it's like $20 million. But I think the more tailored plan is probably going to be somewhere around 11 or 12.
And that was last night's discussion was, it's 4 years on top of the next year. But you can do them all, because you're going to have a bunch more coming up on. So the question is, do you do it? And that's a discussion I was hoping we're going to have some kind of goals and priority type thing, because
sure.
A lot of these questions are that way.
Good.
In here, along with the memo, it's from Aaron and Tim, just about what we're doing with non-union recreation employees and clothing. The short of it is, for years we've been buying them different pieces of clothing for, you know, wearing special events or raincoats, those types of things. And with our public works unions moving towards a clothing allowance, the recreational employees thought that it would be better to, you know, get a stipend basically and then be responsible for buying their own clothes.
So in order to do that, we're creating a policy, mimics the public works one, and basically all it says is we're giving you, you know, $500. You're going to be responsible for buying X, Y, and Z. The city will still continue to provide safety gear, et cetera, and clarifying that the $500 is taxable. And so, fun fact, even if your employee gives you clothing and not money, that is also taxable. So there's no impact to the workers. It just gives them a little bit of control, and quite frankly, it makes our jobs a little easier because then we don't have to centralize all the purchasing for each one of their clothes. So that's the policy.
And I would add to that that these are the people you see at these festivals and stuff. So
you want to be
there's a the guy that mows the grass, you probably don't see him as much as, but these people here are the ones that the public really interacts with.
$500 of Hawaiian shirts for everybody. that does need city council
approval. I have no question about that.
I don't
think they're going to want to talk about it a little bit. Can you pull it on the stand we have in the general?
Yeah, you can if you want.
Okay.
Will that be at the very next council meeting?
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron. All right, that concludes new business. There is no old business. Is there any additional business?
I only had one thing that was an email you sent out a while back. I don't know if this is the right spot to even discuss it, but you said you had a water complaint a week ago or two.
An individual resident's water complaint?
You sent an email out about it.
Yes, we followed up on it. So
we're all good with that because I take it off my...
The last I had heard is that they sent their water sample away for testing. I haven't heard back since then. So,
okay.
Should be back yet or not, but I will follow up and let you know.
Okay, I was just curious if that's resolved. Yeah.
Yep, that was one that I was on.
Use that LC though, that's why I was a little surprised.
And they didn't even direct it at us, I just saw it, and I was like, you know, if I see it, I'm going to reach out to the person or initiate a complaint, you know, on another behalf. So.
Okay, that's something I had.
Okay. I just have one question kind of unrelated to that meeting. Is there ramping up the discussions about the Cricket Stadium? Do you anticipate if there's any parking restrictions or any changes that will come here?
It'll come somewhere. We're probably, I think they're communicating that they're going to try to open in 2024. I have my doubts about that. The developer had actually pitched to us a year prior or 2 years prior. So he was shopping around to different municipalities. So we were kind of aware of some of his plans and challenges, I have my doubts that it's going to get off the ground to a level that's going to be a large issue yet for the residents. I think it's probably still too early for that. And additionally, it seems like Oswego is probably going to more entertain only doing the first phase, which is basically a park, they're going to burn it and let people go there, have theoretically adequate parking, but we'll know when they do their traffic study and noise study. So nothing now. I definitely wait and see because, you know, parking restriction takes, you know, all of a day to type up and then for you guys to vote on it, you know, we can do that one meeting if needed. So, and if at some point, you know, we get a traffic plan that says, you know, there's going to be 1,000 cars and not 600, maybe then we'll work to implement something soon.
So on that same thing, I was kind of curious, how is that even in our, we don't have really anything to do with it except for maybe the edges that the people that are on Montgomery or
Grand
Oswego
Grand Reserve,
part of that.
Goes into it's going to be at Tuscany and Orchard, and Tuscany goes into actually my ward.
Yep.
Right. Okay. I didn't know. I was thinking we were a little further west of that, but
yeah, it's kind of a weird spot where I think like neighborhoods in Oswego, Montgomery, and Yorkville all kind of connecting roads, so all those neighborhoods are a little.
I knew the school district and stuff went overlapped, like over in that area too, but
it's here. This is all Oswego, 1, 2, 3 streets of Oswego, and then it's Yorkville. So, you know, these residents here are concerned that people aren't going to park, you know, not only here, but then they're going to drive down here, basically. So I don't think there's any frontage on Tuscany. There's not. Yeah, it's all
residents I spoke to was curious why on Tuscany one side of the road is restricted for parking and the other.
We would have had an issue there at some point related to the curve and somebody either parking there or us worrying that somebody would park there. We had an issue a few years ago where people were parking on curves of collector roads, which are non-driveway loaded roads. And so rather than allowing people to just like park willy-nilly on both sides, we said restrict it to one side that we have clear field of vision basically through there. So yeah, good point. So we'll see. We're monitoring it. Oswego seems to be, having only talked to Dan, they seem to be handling it in a way that we would handle it, requiring different things and thinking about different things. So for all communications with them, they seem to be open to our, feedback.
Where's the actual proposed parcel? Can you mouse over here? Right there?
Yeah. Just zooming out here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the tracks. Here's the caterpillar.
Right.
I believe so. It's here.
Okay.
Yep. And if you haven't seen the plans, he does show a 24,000 seat.
I read just what was in the
two-tiered cricket stadium, which maybe, but I gotta think that's gonna be 10 years and several approvals later, at least. So,
and the only thing I heard was there was fireworks stuff, or some people were concerned about fireworks and launching them and.
Oh yeah, the events and stuff.
Yeah, whatever they were gonna do at this facility.
Anytime there's a sporting match, when something good happens, sometimes people do fireworks or cannons or whatever. So that would all take into account the noise study too, because the way you berm it, the way you orient the field, those can all make a difference to surrounding residents as far as noise. So. I would assume they're going to take that into account since their own residents are going to be closest to it.
So. Yeah, right. That's what I thought. Interesting.
Yep.
That's the only question I have. Any others?
Nope.
All right. Go ahead and call the meeting to close at 6:28.